Hey everyone, welcome to another Hyperspace Broadcast minisode, where we cover a topic that is either suggested by you, the listener, or just something that we wanted to talk about. This week, we watched the compilation movie? That's really the only way I can think to describe it. Voltus 5, which is a pretty weird show, but I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby. We were compelled by God, apparently, to watch a very random, 1977 Sentai show that mostly only aired in Japan.
Well, I mean, it's an anime. We should probably put that
a Sentai anime.
Yeah.
A giant robot.
It's a super
combining...
robot anime. It's not a Sentai anime.
Yeah, whatever. It's the same shit.
It's like metal. You know, there's so many subgenres that
doom metal.
This is djent, actually. Excuse me.
Oh, God.
All right. Sorry. Go on.
So, and also, we were watching a very rare dubbed version that, let's be honest, it exists on archive.org.
Well, yeah.
And
yeah, of course.
I would like to give the link to that by the end of the podcast, which I don't think is actually illegal.
It might be. I don't know. But yes, it's on archive.org. It is.
Yeah, just look up Voltus5archive.org, but I didn't tell you to do that, okay? It's worth your time, and we'll get to why. Yes.
This is kind of weird because it's a compilation movie made by a company called 3B Productions in 1983. They call it Voltus 5, VOLTUSV, instead of Voltus 5, VOLTES, for reasons that I don't understand. It's probably just a romanization issue, realistically.
One, and they made their own opening for it, which is terrible.
Yeah, it's the worst opening.
The opening is light blue color in the background. That's everything. And then it's like a little bit of text, and then they'll pop in portraits of the pictures. But the pictures seem to be cutouts of frames.
Yeah,
or
there's
redone
something
frames.
Really wrong with them. It's like they got the producer's 7-year-old to draw the characters.
Yeah.
Because they all look really fucked up and wrong. And while watching it, both of us were just expecting this whole thing to look like total shit.
Yeah. It's to the point where when the actual show started, both of us were just like, oh, shit, this is okay looking. By comparison? Damn.
Yeah, right, right. We were really awful. We were really expecting the worst. But this is a compilation movie of episodes 1, 2, 9, and 18 of the 40-episode series. That's right. A full 10%
Thanks.
Of the show's total run. And it jumps around, so it's pretty incoherent, especially at the end. Voltus 5, the original, was the second of three shows known as the Robot Romance Trilogy, which were some of the first super robot shows that attempted to give a shit about character arcs and plot development and that kind of stuff, instead of just kind of existing purely to sell toys.
How we found this was we were looking through, I think we were just, watching Gundam Build Divers and joshing about Gundam and talking about Tomino other alliterative phrases. And we were just like, oh, Tomino, he had some ridiculous history with the Gundam series and did some crazy shit. And then we saw through his filmography and it's like, oh, what the fuck? Voltus 5? That sounds weird.
Yeah, and of course, it's also known as, Super Electromagnetic Voltus 5 or something like
right.
that. That's why we happened across it, because it has a really crazy name, literally.
It's just I wonder if all the characters die in this.
Yeah,
and Tomino worked on it.
Yeah, of course, I think he was only a producer. He didn't have anything to do with. All three of these Robot Romance Trilogy shows were directed by Tadao Nagahama, whose name I'm probably butchering. And
probably
the other two are Super Electric Robot Combattler V and Tosho Daimos, which I also might be butchering. So I want to say that the main reason that we watched this, aside, once we'd found it, I was like, I want to see this stupid, probably butchered Americanization of this movie or this show that was turned into a movie. And I managed to track it down on Internet Archive. And then I started it, and like 10 seconds after it starts, someone shouts, "Voltus 5! And I hit pause and texted Peter. And I was like, yeah, we got to watch this together because it's going to be hilarious. This is the best start to anything.
And really, it was. it was quite funny, yeah, at least for the first like 3/4 of it.
Yeah.
Of like a 2-hour movie.
Yeah, it's like an hour and a half or so. But the overall plot, just so you have any clue what we're talking about, is that this alien empire called the Boazanian Empire, who are a bunch of humanoid aliens with big horns, attack Earth with giant robots. So, of course, the only thing to do is to gather up the pre-existing team of teenagers, put them in a giant robot that can split into a bunch of vehicles and then, you know, recombine into a giant robot called a Voltus and fight the aliens.
Yeah.
And some of the backstory also involves the father of 3/5 of the team, who went out into space a long time ago and, you know, designed the Voltus robot. And he just fucking shows up again, because this is probably not a surprise, but let me tell you, skipping from episode 9 to episode 18 is really jarring.
Yeah.
It is terribly handled. There's like 4 new characters entirely that just pop out of nowhere. There's no context for it, like no build up at all. It's really
weird.
One of
the characters has like a mini octopus that is never explained as like a little pet friend.
And
the rest of the show, I'd say, like, what is it, 1, 2, and 19, you said?
1, 2, and 9. 1, 2,
8, 19?
No, 1, 2, 9, and 18.
Okay. Yeah, 1, 2, and 9 all flow together pretty well.
Yeah, right, because they're all sort of the same shit. Like,
yeah, and when it goes to 18, that's when it's like,
yes,
hang on.
It's, yeah. But, so, you know, of course, we have these 5 teens who, do you want to go ahead and list them? Because I don't remember their generic-ass names.
We're introduced to our team through their, like, training montage. Apparently, they've just been training forever, not knowing what they're training for until now, that they're training to be part of the Voltus. And their training montage is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, they're training in a bunch of ways that I cannot possibly see how it would make sense. Like, they've never seen the giant robot before they're introduced to it, so they're just training like riding motorcycles and doing ninjutsu and shit, like
riding a motorcycle, shooting targets with like a Borderlands revolver
with like 9 chambers,
kicking ass with a bow staff against like 20 different guys,
sure, yeah,
fighting a shark with nothing but a knife,
sure,
that's what the kid does.
Yeah.
Dodging machine gun turrets and net traps with like precision shuriken hits, and whipping plates being shot at you while on horseback. That's what everyone is doing when they're interrupted for this alien invasion. And our main characters are, I did not mean for that paper sound. It sounds good. Really good.
It's a good transition. Yeah.
Let's see. we have number 1 is Steve, which is the original Japanese name. He's basically our Red Ranger of the group.
Yeah, or our Keith from Voltron, because they're basically the same character. They look pretty similar. He, of course, is the motorcycle rider.
And then Mark, the rodeo guy, is number 2.
Sure.
Bert, or Big Bert, is number 3, and he's like the big guy who's a martial artist.
Right.
The little kid, who's like 10 years old, he's number 4, and his name is Little John.
Which is pretty weird.
Yeah.
The final member of the team is, of course, P. Diddy.
No. The final member is Jamie, who's a ninja.
Yeah.
And the only girl.
Of course. And so the 3 brothers are Big Bert, Steve, and Little John, which makes me wonder why Steve is not Medium Steve. That seems to be like the naming, you know, pattern with them. But you know, these characters get into a giant robot. They have to, quote-unquote, vault in, which is how they combine. They're flying around a bunch of vehicles that don't make any sense to be flying around. Like, one's in a plane, which is fine, and then the other four are just in these bizarre, like, dumb-looking shapes.
Yeah, most of them have tank treads.
Yeah, at least one has tank treads, which is something I've noticed in Super Robot stuff, or at least, like, this in G-Force, which isn't really Super Robot, but I love seeing things with tank treads flying around because it makes no sense. And it seems to be a thing. I've watched Space Runaway Ideon, at least part of it, a while ago. And even that shit is, you know, has trucks flying. Although, to be fair, I might have just been baffled that this super powerful alien artifact was made out of three very human looking trucks.
It's fine.
Just very that's a weird instance for a fairly serious show, but this show, like, of course it's goofy as fuck. It's 1977. The bad guys fly around in a giant skull with a castle on top of it. Which is the silliest thing I can imagine. Like, I'm sad that I didn't come up with that. It's so stupid.
But you know, when I was rewatching it today to get some notes, and it's goofy. It's, of course, like, it's Super Robot stupid goofy, but it's also still got kind of like some of the shock value of more modern anime, and, you know, kind of the shock value of what I compare to is like a PG-13 movie, like Independence Day or something, where it's like you're seeing everything getting blown up and all these people getting blown up, and then it's like that's more fuel for the good guys to fight the bad guys.
Yeah, sure.
You see that a lot. Like, they have a lot of scenes of, like, chaos of people evacuating cities, and, like, there's, like, a little girl gets separated from her mom, and then, like, a bunch of cars just crash and explode. Like, there's a bunch of mayhem in the beginning, and it's just like, oh, about 3 million people are dead. Rio de Janeiro's in flames. We've lost contact with BBC London. It's like, no, not Doctor Who.
Not London.
and it's like seeing all of that, it's just like, you know, it's really weird seeing, like, what is definitely a kiddie and stupid show in terms of, like, okay, they're gonna get in the robot, combine, slash the villain, kill it, that's it.
Yeah, pretty much, like, always the same V slash into the villain, which is amazing that they make a V for Voltus, presumably.
But seeing that with also, like, oh, a bunch of characters just fucking died. Like,
yeah,
a bunch
to be
of
fair,
civilians are killed.
And this is true, but we have, like, started watching a little bit of Mobile Suit Gundam, and the violence in this, while they do show, like, cars crashing and shit, it's not like they ever show aftermath of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, a little girl falls down in a crowd, we don't cut back to her trampled body at any point, which Gundam would do.
Yeah, they probably would.
So, you know, again, they just fight giant robots. Eventually, their dad comes back, and he has a bunch of hornless Boazanians who are rebelling against the Emperor, who's a character that we've never seen before this point.
The Emperor, who wears, like, a red hair version of the George Washington wig.
Like, the classic, like, powdered wig look. Yeah. It's very strange. And, of course, we see him for, like, 10 seconds. But it's just this guy. Who is he? Who knows? Whatever. We get a random, slightly pointless explanation of how hyperspace travel works in this universe, which is just there in the middle of the show for no apparent reason, as far as I can tell. And then the dad gets captured. He's put in the giant skull castle. Voltus fights the giant skull castle, and they put the dad out in a capsule to serve as, like, a deterrent. The Voltus team immediately decides that it's not their dad, but in fact a robot.
Oh,
Like, literally, they say, it's dead. No, it must be a robot. You're right. How could we fall for such a stupid trick?
Let's and then they start,
and then they start destroying the Skull Fortress anyway, which the dad is very excited about in his little capsule. And then finally, right. before they're about to strike the final blow, they see that the dad is crying in, you know, happiness that his sons are so badass. And they really, they're like, tears? It can't be a robot. It must actually be dead. Because God knows, you can never make, like, this robot looks identical to your father, but making it cry, impossible.
Yeah, that's the line.
Yeah, that is too human, must be a human being. So the Skull Fort gets away, and that's just the end. That's it. Yeah, we're done. And
literally, it's just the same shitty pale blue screen. It's just like the end. Okay. Like, I guess it's over. I was kind of enjoying it.
Yeah, it's, well, it's weird because again, there's a lot of goofy stuff in this show and it's pretty funny as a result, but especially, it also, like,
go ahead,
it also, I mean, I want to bring up the breakout star, which is the Super Hornet, who's a giant robot hornet that flies around and is the only bad guy robot that talks to them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He just has, like, this voice. And he
too bad. You can't stop when you want to.
Yeah, at one point, one of the Voltus components shoots cement all over him to slow him down. He flies away, and then it just cuts, and he's flying back. Like, he doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
It's so weird. I assume you're the leader. That sort of thing.
You next.
That character is great because he is so goofy, but the show actually made me angry once we were done with it.
Really?
Yeah, because it was fun and it had a bunch of silly, dumb stuff. Like, you know, it basically filled the void that I was hoping it would. The thing is, though, cutting so abruptly to this totally separate episode that has almost nothing in common with the other ones, I just realized how slapdash and lazy this was produced.
Yeah.
Like, as far as, you know, the translation, and it just sucked. I was like, I've never been angry about seeing something butchered so far in what we've watched, because for the most part, as badly as, like, Robotech was fucking, I mean, I don't know if I would necessarily call that butchered, but it was pretty well fucked up.
Yeah.
The thing is, it still told a fairly coherent story, and this really doesn't. Like, stuff just comes out of nowhere. Like, there's no through line, really. And there's just a lot of stuff about it that just strikes me as crazy. Like, why do we need to see the robot transform literally 5 times over the course of this? And only once is it, like, cut down at all. Every other time they show it in full, which fine for a TV show, that makes total sense. But it's not like they didn't have the power to edit some of the footage. Like,
yeah,
I mean, maybe they didn't. Maybe I'm just talking out my ass. But it just felt so, like, I feel like, and to be fair, trying to cut a 40-episode series into, like, 4 episodes worth of content is just a fool's errand. Like, I don't think you're going to be able to accomplish that very well. But, I don't know, I felt like the plot lines in this just made no sense. And, of course, they didn't, because it wasn't, you know, no one tried that hard, because it was in 86 shows, just some shit to put on the TV so your kids would shut the fuck up for an hour. Like, that's it.
The dub quality is really, like, Speed Racer level.
Yeah, sure. It is.
You get some amazing lines, though. Like, the main character first sees Voltus 5 and is just like, it's fantastic! I never dreamed there'd be such a big robot!
Which is a great line.
Like, yeah, that is the most, like, super robot anime line ever said, ever.
Or as you said while we were watching it, that sounds like a line from something parodying anime.
Yeah.
It's just such a dumb... And, of course, again, like, you know, to get into their vehicles to combine into the super robot, they all have to go through this like 7-step process for reasons that are completely irrational.
Yeah, from and headquarters, then... they have to like jump into tubes that lead to seats that go underground, down conveyor belts that
and then
somehow
go down
end
a
up
wall
in cockpits.
Into their cockpits.
Yeah.
But and also it's amazing that, you know, naturally, because it's a super robot show, they go out in their 5 vehicles every time, which never does anything. Like their vehicles are worthless before
they always
they
have to form together.
Yeah, because that's how super robot shows generally work. But it's still really funny to watch it happen, you know, 4 times in the course of an hour.
Well, I will say I did like the episode in which the mom died. I did like for certain reasons, like it's an episode in which they go out and they're fighting this giant robot and they volt in and form into a Voltus 5.
Yeah. And shoot their Beyblade at it because one of their prime weapons is a big spinning top.
Yeah. This big spinning top that they run along their stupid whip that they whip at enemies, I guess.
Yeah. It's like one of those like ripcord fucking tops that you would get
Beyblade.
As a Burger King extra add-on.
So, and they do all that, but they actually, like, pretty much lose against the enemy. Like, they're just getting their asses kicked, and which is never something I've seen in a super robot thing, which I don't watch a lot of, but like, I've never seen that. And they're getting pretty much destroyed, and the mom gets injured earlier, and then she's, like, a main character, Mrs. Armstrong.
Well, sort of, for the first 2 episodes before she's killed.
Yeah, and then... she gets injured, and then, like, the hospital she's being treated in gets blown up, and she's, like, barely survives and sees that her kids are being slowly ripped apart, basically, by this monster's grapple.
Yeah, or
And she gets in a jet and flies off and does a suicide attack against it.
Oh, right, I forgot that she does
that.
Sure.
Yeah. Which was, like, fairly brutal, and I thought was pretty cool in that, Like I said, I've never seen like the super robot get that badly beaten.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, that's like a fairly emotional scene for a super robot show as well. Like,
and then after that, you get that like satisfying, like, you just horribly wronged me, like, vengeance anger that goes into destroying the enemy.
Yeah, everyone crying in the cockpit while they blow shit up.
It's like complete and utter malice towards the enemy, like more so than ever before, because they just killed their fucking mom, so they all go crazy.
Sort of. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, sure, sort of. But, you know, I thought that was pretty cool.
Sure.
But,
I mean,
you know, other than that, it's all just kind of like same old, like,
and the thing is,
super robot.
Don't get me wrong, like, I think that if this whole show were put in English, it might actually be worth checking out. Like, I think the main problem I have with this movie is just that it was cut together so poorly and so lazily. Like, and incidentally, there is an English dub of it, because it was really popular in the Philippines, but it's only available on a streaming service called iFlix, which is not available outside of East Asia. So
great.
That's annoying because I would totally sign up for iFlix to watch this show. So I guess iFlix come to the United States and we'll maybe cover some more of this show at some point. Preferably a version that isn't just hacked together like shit.
Well, that's strong leverage for iFlix to know that Hyperspace Broadcast is putting like a vendetta on them. Like, you fuckers better come over here.
We're putting a bounty on.
Yeah.
better
they
get
know
that
our,
shit
our
over
rabid,
here.
Gigantic fan base is like just going to tear them apart. They
just
going to bring that shit over here.
Yeah, just going to send a bunch of hate mail to iFlix. Like, we're
going to
kill you.
I don't want that, even
you.
If it is true.
Sure. I mean, of course I don't either, but that's how things work now.
Yeah, well, that's how everyone communicates now.
Yeah, it's just hate mail. So I guess that pretty much wraps up Voltus 5. It is goofy and very stupid. And I kind of wish, like, there are some interesting themes that they deal with. You know, like the whole alien rebellion thing. That would be cool to see more of, but no, we only get, like, the briefest snapshot of it.
And it's certainly darker than you might expect. I would say watch it with a friend. It's a good time. You like making fun of some cheesy shit, you're gonna have a blast.
Yeah, no, it's a fun thing to check out with a buddy and maybe a beer, but I probably wouldn't if it weren't for that. So, hey there, listener, do you want to hear us talk about something specific? Maybe you have a show you think we should check out, like one of the other Super Robot Romance Trilogy things. I just mangled the name of those three shows, because we're definitely not going to watch them. If no one says watch them, or, you know, if you just want to say hello, you can get a hold of us via DM on facebook.com/HBpod, Twitter at HBpod, or you can email us at hyperspacebroadcastpod@gmail.com. Join us next week. We will be covering The Intruder and then having a little bit of an awards ceremony for Tom Juan and Moltar era. We're going to be giving some shows awards for various things that we need to figure out.
Best fashion,
best adaptation.
I might go to characters.
That's true. Ray Hino is up in the running there, I think. But
oh yeah. Of course. Pink overalls, are you kidding?
I mean, to be fair, Serena at one point was wearing a sleeveless hoodie with overall dress.
Sailor Moon's got some strong fashion in it.
It really does.
So does Beast Wars, I will say.
That's true, yeah. I mean, it is the hottest thing of the season to wear a flat dead rat as a backpack. That is definitely a thing that a lot of people are doing these days. Anyway, I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And be sure to revisit us next week.